Today's reading is from Luke. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks to God.
So anybody familiar with church and has been to a Sunday when we've made pledge commitments to God for the year ahead might find the story from the scripture you just heard a bit unusual for today. Typically, that is a story read on Palm Sunday, the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem when he rode a donkey. What does that have to do with pledging? Well, the donkey was important because it fulfilled Old Testament prophecy that said, "You will know the day the Messiah arrives when he comes to you humble, riding upon a donkey." So Jesus needed a donkey to fulfill the prophecy. But again, what does that have to do with this day? Jim Jackson, a pastor down in Texas, tells his congregation about the significance of a donkey in that time. That was a very, very valuable possession for a family in a predominantly agricultural society. A donkey would be like a utility vehicle. You would use it for transportation. You would use it to haul things. You would use it to plow. You would use it to pull equipment. It was versatile and multi-purpose. We don't typically own donkeys today, but what would be the equivalent of a modern-day donkey? You might say it'd be a pickup truck, a 4x4 pickup truck that has extra suspension and a lot of horsepower, the kind of truck that Sam Elliott would advertise on TV like this.
To take it all head-on, channel the universe. Shorten the distances. Push beyond the possible. Roar past convention. Shift every course. Defy the elements.
Doesn't end here. This is only the beginning.
Guts, glory, Ram.
Don't you love that? The road starts here.
I mean, that's no girly truck there. That is a Ram-built truck. It is rough. It is tough. It's going to get things done. If you work outside, you need to have a truck like that. So imagine having a truck like that. Imagine somebody who buys one brand new, never been driven. And it's sitting in the driveway, and one day a couple of guys come along and they walk into your driveway and begin to circle the truck, admiring it, and notice the keys are in it. And they climb into the cab and they start the truck up, and you can tell they're about to drive off. And you run out of the house and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" And all they say is the Lord has need of this. And you say, okay then. Okay then. Tell him, I hope it serves him well. And you go back inside. Wouldn't you think there's more to that story? Wouldn't you think there's a backstory? There's something we don't know about that would allow somebody to say such a thing. Let's imagine together for a few moments what that story might have been. And if you want to look this up to find it, you can go to the RSV Bible, Rob's Standard Version. Early in Jesus' ministry, he came upon a man one day who had run into some trouble, but we don't know what the trouble was exactly. We don't know if he had been deathly ill or tormented by a mental sickness. We don't know if he was in debt and had creditors on his heels. We don't know if there was a relationship problem. But whatever it is that Jesus did for him that day, it changed his life. He was healed. He was restored. He was given back a life that up to that encounter he did not know ever could exist. That ahead of him in his future, there could be happiness and fulfillment. He says to Jesus, "What can I do for you?" And Jesus says, "Well, right now, nothing. But you may one day. There may come a day when you have something I need, and I'll send some people to get it. And all they're going to say to you is, the Lord has need of this, and you give it to them. Okay?" The man says, "I have nothing. I can't ever imagine having something in my life that you could use that's significant. Of course, if I'm ever able to have the kind of life that has something I can give to you, absolutely." The man goes on with his life. He gets married. He and his wife, they can't rub two nickels together. They move into the only thing they can afford, a one-bedroom apartment that they rent. He starts his own business, a landscaping business, in which he does all the work himself on every job. He takes what money they have left to buy an old pickup truck to use to haul his equipment. He wonders some days if the thing's even going to start, but it does every day. It miraculously starts up so that he can go to work. His wife handles the business side of things out of the apartment. They work really hard, even though they don't have very much, but they're honest, they're reliable, they don't cheat people, and they follow through on what they say they're going to do. And over time, the business takes off. One day, they're able to move out of the apartment and to buy their own home, which is really helpful because now they have children. He's able to hire a crew and to get another office building. And the business continues to prosper. One day, his CPA comes into his office. He's got some papers with him, and he says, "Do you realize how well we did this year?" And he says, "Well, I know I've been busy, so I just assumed we're doing well." And he takes the papers and looks at them and goes, "Wow, I didn't know we were doing that well." He goes, "I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about how well this business is doing. Do you realize how blessed by God you've been? You don't need to keep working this hard. You can actually afford to take it a little bit easier in life. You can do something nice for yourself. What is something you've always wanted to do? How about you know, a trip around the world with your wife? You could afford to go out and get a whole new wardrobe, and by the looks of it, you could use one." And the man sits back in his chair and he's contemplating all this because honestly, he's never had the luxury of a thought like this. What can I do for me? And as he's thinking, well, what would be something I want? He looks out the window and and sees his old pickup truck sitting in the parking spot. Of all the things that had changed in his life, a growing family, a new home, a new office, the one thing that was the same was that old beat-up truck. He said, "You know, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this. I've always wanted a new truck. I don't just mean a different truck. I mean a brand new truck." His CPA says, "All right, I'm kicking you out of here today. You're going to go home early, and you're going to go to the dealership, and you're going to buy yourself a new truck." So he does. He goes to a dealership. He tells him what he's interested in, and the salesman takes him out into the showroom floor, and he says, "This might be what you're looking for." It was a brand new, shiny, souped-up truck. It has all of the equipment that he would need to get his job done, but it's got things he never imagined. He gets into the cab, and it's all digital. And he said, "I don't know how to turn anything on in this truck." The guy, "Well, let me show you how to do that." Puts the key in. Actually, there's not even a key, discovers. It's just this little device. He said, "You don't even do it. Just push that button." He does, and everything lights up. He shows him the radio. "Oh, you can get all the same channels you always did, but this thing's got satellite radio. Just imagine all of the ball games you ever wanted to listen to, any of the news channels." This is blowing this guy's mind. And then he says it's got Bluetooth. And he covers his mouth and says, "What?" He said, no, Bluetooth is something in the vehicle. I'm not talking about your teeth. You sync your phone up to it, and when you're driving, you never hold your phone again. You just talk inside the car, and it communicates. The guy's like, I never dreamed of having something like this. He walks around the outside of it. Even the mud flaps have chrome lining. There are speakers on the outside of the truck so that if you're outdoors working, you can still play and listen to the radio. There's a beautiful liner inside the bed of the truck so he won't scar it. He says, "Man, give me this. I want this truck." So he does the paperwork, but it's on the showroom floor. He can't just drive off with it. They said, "Look, you go home, we'll deliver it to you." Later that afternoon, sure enough, a semi-truck arrives, backs into his driveway. A couple of guys get out, lower the back gate down, and roll this brand new shiny truck into his driveway. They come over to him, drop the keys in his hand, put up the gate, drive off with the truck. He walks out and just admires this truck. All of the shiny bells and whistles, no more dents, no more rust to worry about, wondering if the floorboard is going to break through with his feet. Studying the inside of the cab, stepping back to go, "I never thought I'd have a day like this. A house, my family. Being able to buy a truck like this." And as he's standing there, these two guys walk up to his driveway, and they're looking at the house number on his house, and one of them looks back at a piece of paper in his hand and studies the number again and says to his friend, "This is it. This is the right place." He walks out and says, "Can I help you guys?" And they said, "Well, actually, you can. We need your truck." He says, "Look, I don't know what you're here for." He doesn't know if they're joking or they're about to rob him. He says, "This truck just got delivered. I just bought it today." And then they said, "The Lord has need of this." And in an instant, he is transported back to the last time he heard those words. He is taken back to a time in his life when he had reason to believe that he would never be in such a position in his life. He starts to think about all that had happened in his life from that day to this and what Jesus had done for him. And he takes the keys, puts it in the hand of one of the men, and folds that person's hand over it, and he says, "Gladly. Gladly, you tell him I said thank you." Do you think it could have been something like that? Do you think that Jesus, who needed a donkey that had never been ridden and sent disciples to a place where they had never been to go up to a man they had never met to untie a donkey, and if he says anything to you, say, "The Lord has need of it." And he let them take it. Do you think it could have been? That's what stewardship is. Stewardship is so much more than looking at the resources we have and thinking about the good that they can do. Stewardship is certainly not doing something out of guilt or obligation that comes with membership. Because we're members, well, this is just something we gotta do. Stewardship is about saying, everything in my life is because of God, and where would I be were it not for God? I told in my email this past Friday about a woman in our church from India who started worshiping with us in 2018. She started coming to worship because she met a woman in our church who recognized that she was here for the first time and started the conversation and said, "Well, I just want to welcome you and say I hope you'll come back." And in that conversation, found out that the woman from India was suffering from an autoimmune disorder that was destroying both of her kidneys, and dialysis was failing, and if she did not have a kidney transplant, she would not survive. After worship that Sunday, she came up to me and we prayed together. And that week, I put just a few lines in my Friday email. It happened to be Holy Week, Good Friday. I told about this woman's situation, and all I did was say, if you've ever thought about being an organ donor, this would be a good time. Well, lo and behold, if a woman in our church didn't start investigating it and went to be tested to see if she could donate her kidney to this woman, she found out that she was not a suitable candidate, but she told her daughter, who was a physician. Now get this. Not many days before, the daughter had a dream. She dreamed one night that she died and went to heaven, and she was asked in heaven, "Tell me what you did with your life." And she tells all of the things that she thought made a positive contribution, and the ones who were listening to her, angels, I guess, agreed and said, "Those are good things, but we have one question. Why didn't you give a kidney? You had a chance in your life to donate a kidney, but you didn't do it." And she woke up and she wondered, what did that dream mean? And here she's listening to her mother tell about a woman from India who needs a kidney, and she knows now the meaning of that dream. She gets tested and she finds out that she is a suitable candidate. There are a few remaining tests to be done, but a surgery date has been set for December for her to donate her kidney to this woman. There's so many things I love about that story. One of the things I love about it is it revives my faith in God. It revives my faith that this world is subject to a sovereign God who is looking out for it. That God is active and moving with all of the daily evidence to the contrary. And God is in the midst of this world. And I love the fact that the way God moves in this world is through people who are willing to listen to that God. When God says, "You have something I need," and they're willing to respond. Is there anything more amazing, mysterious, and wonderful than a person who stewards what they have to give life to other people? And I love that it happened through the church. That God created a community of Christians called St. Luke's United Methodist, and put within the heart of this community to be an open community that welcomes everybody. The kind of heartbeat established under one of my predecessors sitting right here in front of me, Dr. Carver McGriff, who said, "We're going to welcome everyone here," so that a woman from India thought, maybe that's a place I should go. I love that story. What do you have that God can use? What's in your possession that God can use to make the ministry of this church happen again in 2019 and do who knows what kind of miracles in the year ahead? Every year on this Sunday, we watch a brief video of images of ministry from the past year. And when we had this Sunday a year ago, these are some images of what happened because of those commitments. Take a few moments to look at this. And as you watch it, just think about what has God given you to be of use for his work in the year ahead. And then I'm going to come back and give us a little instruction about the response at the end and lead us in prayer. Let us see this.
You live among the least of these, the weary and the weak. And it would be a tragedy for me to turn away. Supply when I was dead, you gave me life. How could I not give it away so freely? And I'll follow you into the homes of the broken, I'll follow you into the world.
What might God do through St. Luke's in 2019? A big part of that answer comes from what we give him to use. As we do every year, I encourage people to wait until this moment, literally this moment, to fill out a commitment card that represents more than just their financial resources. We've been spending time in this series to talk about our service and our opportunities to be involved and plugged into community, but this is the day we do think specifically about our financial gifts. And I invite you to take out your envelope that has a pledge card in it. And you'll see that on your card, you can fill out the simple information and ways that you pledge to give to the church in the coming year. Now, if you're a guest with us, if you're a visitor, we in no way are expecting you to commit, and we don't want you feeling a bit awkward at all about not participating in this part of the service. You, however, may have been coming here long enough that you say, I love this church. I want to let God use what I have to make that happen. And consider yourselves a full part of this community and participate in such a way. You know, a lot of preachers get a little wigged out in this moment. They go, this is what I really don't like about my job. I don't like asking people for money. I guess God made me really weird. I love it. I absolutely love this moment because this is not about me. I'm giving you the best deal you'll ever get. I'm giving you an opportunity right now to take the earthly things in your life that can rust, get buried, rot, crumble, go to other people who won't even know why they got them, but let them be transformed into eternal difference-making opportunities. When you experience that, it's just amazing. I walked into my office earlier this week. I go past Mary Catherine's office. She said, Rob, wait one minute. Remember the woman who needed the kidney? Yeah, I remember. Well, somebody gave her a kidney. I went, oh, that's wonderful. And I went onto my office and I sat down. And I went, wait, what did I just hear? Somebody gave a person a kidney because of what they read in an email? What did I just hear? And I went back down to Mary Catherine, wait, tell me that again. Who gave the kidney? Why did they give the kidney? When did this occur? Tell me the name. I want to get in touch with them. And then I went back to my desk and I just said, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day, God, but it won't get better than that right there. I've had my blessing today to know that I got to participate in a miracle. There's just not a better deal in life. So in a moment, we're going to fill out our cards, and there are boxes here in the front in each of the sections. And in the middle section, there are baskets on both sides about halfway up the aisle. So those who are furthest in the back, you can go to those baskets. And as we sing, you're invited just to come and put your card back in the envelope and bring your envelope and place it in one of the spots, and then go back to your pew. And when we finish singing, I'm going to lead us in a benediction and send us on our way. But what a great moment. Those who are watching online right now, and we have quite a few who watch online, you can go to our church website and register and set up a profile. You have to do that first in order to access the pledge card. And if you need any help, call the office. Somebody will walk you through it over the phone to help you this week. Wherever you're watching from, we want you to feel very much a part of St. Luke's and the chance to make a difference with what you have. What has the Lord given you that God can use in this year ahead? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this Sunday, such an important day that the next 12 months really do ride on these moments. I thank you for the inspirations you're sending into the hearts of your people to continue being who we are. It's just that simple. Just being who we are, an open, loving, grace-filled community that allows you to work through us in faithfulness and to be responsive when you say, the Lord has need of this. And we realize all that we have because of you, and we gladly give it. So help us feel a sense of honor and privilege as we commit important things to you in the name and for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen.